Well, here we are on what is an almost painful irony, the final Sunday service of Knox Presbyterian on Thanksgiving. And yet there are many things to be thankful for. First of all, I was supposed to get my knee fixed, but it was postponed, just so you know, because my orthopedic surgeon has too many trauma cases, which if there's a reason to be postponed, I can't think of a better one than that. Whoever needs him, please go and be healed. The other news for which I am profoundly thankful is that for those of you who have been following Haley's saga, she went under the knife on Friday? Yes, on Friday. And the operation was a success. As far as we know, she came out of the in recovery with both of her kidneys, which was the only real question. And so we are profoundly grateful for that. She can now begin healing and perhaps even moving on into what might be called a normal life after all the things that have gone on. And as I was thinking of that and other things, the sermon title, Thankful for What, came to mind. And there are so many things for us to be thankful for, but are we always thankful for the right things? And so what I ended up going to more than anything else was our Philippians passage. And when we look at the first part of it, and if we think of Paul before he moved into the relationship with God that he had after that Damascus Road experience where he encountered the living Christ in a miraculous way. Before that, if you would have asked Paul, at that time still named Saul, what are you thankful for? And I suspect it would have been that list that he puts in the first part of our reading. It starts in, the second half of verse 4. And he was confident. He was thankful for being circumcised, being a member of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. He was born a Hebrew. That he was, as to the law, a Pharisee and faultless, which is just a staggering thing to say. That he'd somehow kept all of those hundreds and hundreds of commandments in the Old Testament. I mean, some of them are pretty easy, but, don't murder people. That one's pretty straightforward. But some of the other ones, when you get into Leviticus, are a little bit more finely drawn and could be a little more difficult to keep, perhaps. But he'd never broken any of them. He was zealous, and he was righteous. And I'm sure he was thankful for those. And if you would have asked me at one point, what am I thankful for? I would have come up with a list of things that were pretty materialistic, I think. I mean, I would have been thankful for my family. Yeah. Because that's how I was back then. But I've been thankful. I had a nice car that people looked at when I drove by. Well, when a 1975 Thunderbird drives by, it almost occludes the sun. So you're pretty much forced to look at it. It's about as big as a bus. But, I was happy with that. I had wore nice clothes, all of those things. And I was thankful for those. But what's interesting is that when we get a little bit further on, when we get to verse 7, Paul says a really peculiar thing. But whatever was to my profit, so whatever those things that I was thankful for, all of those, that list, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What's more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. And then he goes on to say he doesn't care because they're just like rubbish. All of those things that he no longer has. Because when Saul made the transition into Paul, he left all of those things in that earlier list. He left them all behind. It might be possible now to be a Pharisee and a follower of Jesus, but it most certainly was not then. There was no way on earth you could bring those two things together. He was still a racial Jew, an ethnic Jew, but he had left those things behind. He could still say that he was born of the tribe of Benjamin. He could still say he was circumcised. But he says none of those things matter. And they don't matter because they've never been important, but they don't matter in comparison to knowing Christ, to this new relationship with God he has. The previous relationship, and I'm always a little leery about talking about other people's relationship with God, but it's hard to believe that kind of relationship that Paul had before wasn't very legalistic, very checking boxes kind of thing. And it's true that we see over and over again in the Old Testament that God has been relational from the beginning, But it's very easy when you only look at the Old Testament to think that what God is interested in is, have you kept the list? And the list is really long. Well, Paul left all those things behind and said, none of those things matter because now I have this relationship with the living God through Jesus, who I've met, which the rest of us haven't, but who Paul was given that gift, and the Holy Spirit's within me. And all of those other things that were so valuable, that made him who he was, a standout. He was the best student of the Rabbi Gamaliel, who is still quoted today as a scholar of the Old Testament, thousands of years later. A great student of a brilliant scholar, that's something to be thankful for, something even to be proud of. And Paul says, no. It doesn't mean it never happened. But compared to this, it's as if there was nothing. And even more than that, it's as if it was trash and I threw it away. But what a peculiar thing, we would say that, particularly when we continue to read through here where he talks about, I want to know Christ and the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. How's that something to be thankful for? I don't know about you. I find it very difficult to be thankful in the midst of suffering. For you to be thankful for anything, let alone this. But Paul says, all of those things are still part of this relationship that puts all of my previous things in the shade. And he says, I haven't obtained all of this. I haven't been already made perfect, of course, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He now has a goal that he sees as superior to whatever goals he had before, and he's grateful for them that he can press on towards those. And what about us? What are we thankful for? Well, as I said, there was a long time when I was thankful for stuff. And then through a miraculous and profoundly spiritual experience of my house catching fire when I was young, I was 20, whatever I was, and having an encounter with the living God then, and choosing a relationship with a God I didn't really understand over stuff, my life began to change. And it began to change in a profound way. And as I've moved into this life over the last many years, I've realized that I am less and less thankful for the stuff of my life compared to these other things. And it's not that I'm not thankful for them. I'm thankful for our house, old as it is, cracked foundation and all. I'm thankful for the house. We have a roof over our head. I'm grateful for that. But compared to the gratitude I feel to a gracious God and a good surgical team, who on this, Haley's fourth operation in this year, 2023, at the age of 27, all indications are that she continues to be cancer-free. They took care of that in the first one. But as the complications have now been taken care of, she now has the possibility, the likelihood of moving on into a cancer-free future. That's a lot better than stuff. I would trade all of my stuff for that kind of an outcome. And that doesn't make me unusual. I think what that does is it puts me into the middle of a reasonably well-rounded and reasonably healthy human being, something I was not when all I was really thankful for, other than my family, yeah, was stuff, was things, was money, was what money could buy, was prestige, was all the books I'd read and all the things I could talk about. But something changed. Something began to change. When I left the house that was on fire with my youngest brother, the dog, and a coat because it was December 21st. It was cold. And left all the stuff behind because the stuff was less important than the possibility of a God who loved me. Because at that time I wasn't sure about it. But the possibility of a God who loved me was opened up then. My eyes were opened to that at that point. And since then, since the December of 1986, I've been moving forward into a deeper understanding of this God who loved me enough to get my attention. Now, did God set fire to my house? I don't know. I don't think so. I think God took advantage of this moment of crisis in my life that got my attention in a way that nothing else had, to let me see what was important, what really mattered. And so now I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the years that we've had together. And I'll probably talk more about this on Friday. But we've been through a lot. We've had weddings here, we've had funerals, we've laughed together, and we've wept together. Perhaps we've suffered together even. I don't want to talk for anybody else's suffering because I don't know what it was like. Maybe you were suffering when I wasn't, and vice versa. It doesn't matter. I know that we have suffered together because we're part of the human condition. And I'm grateful for that. And while in some ways it might seem like a painful irony that our final Sunday service is on Thanksgiving, I actually think it's a really lovely gift to us to reflect on our gratitude to all that this congregation has meant to us. And that includes the people that have gone before. That includes the people that we never even met because they were a member of this congregation. They lived and died before we were even born. We're grateful to them. We're grateful to those who went ahead, who had a vision for a community of faith in this community of Briarcrest. And it's painful for us, perhaps, to realize that vision has transitioned in some ways, but it doesn't change the thankfulness. I will always be thankful for this place. I'll be thankful for the opportunity to drive here on Sunday mornings through some of the most glorious prairie landscape you could ask for, with that sky that never quits, that people in places like Vancouver and Toronto don't even understand till they get here and then they feel kind of squashed, which isn't the good part. It's just, it's so different. I am grateful for the gifts that God has allowed me to develop and experience from that day, and from even earlier than the day that fire happened, from the day I was dedicated, where I grew up. We didn't do baptism. We did sort of a watered-down version, as a friend of mine once described, about baptizing babies. We dedicated them. And even before that, even before I was born, just like all of us, God had God's eye on us as people, and it's what we were going to do. And none of us have escaped God's attention, and I am grateful for that attention through a life that has had many wonderful things, and some I wouldn't have chosen. And so on this Thanksgiving weekend, I hope we can all take a moment to reflect on those things for which we're thankful. And some of them are going to be big, some of them are going to be enormous. There was a good likelihood, at least as far as we could tell. The surgeon was very confident, but still, there was a likelihood that when Haley went under the anesthetic, she would have two kidneys, and when she came out, she'd only have one. And she has two. That's pretty big. But I'm also thankful for the pictures my grandkids draw me, that I put on the fridge or I take to my office. I'm thankful for that super moon we had a while ago. I'm thankful for the noises of the kids in church. I'm thankful for children in church. I'm thankful for all of these things, big and small. And I see them all now as gifts from a God who loves me and loves you. And so on this Thanksgiving weekend, may we remember that. That the good gifts we get from God don't come because of anything we've done. We haven't earned any of these. We started getting these good gifts before we were even born. But we get them because God loves us. And that's the thing I'm most thankful for today and every day. Amen.